This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our reports with Pope Francis on Sunday and other stories. That will be followed by our feature, The Family. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Sunday, December 8th, was the second Sunday of Advent, but it was also celebrated in the Catholic Church as the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception refers to the dogma defined by the Catholic Church in 1854 that the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived without any stain of original sin in preparation for becoming the Mother of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Pope Francis, assisted by the Dean of the College of Cardinals, Cardinal Giovanni Battista Ray, presided over a Thanksgiving Holy Mass in St. Peter's Basilica with the 20 new cardinals he created on Saturday. In his homily, the Holy Father reflected on the beauty of Mary, whose three characteristics he said are daughter, bride, and mother.
Della sua infanzia i testi sacri non parlano.
The Pope said Scripture does not speak of Mary's childhood, but presents her as a young girl of deep faith, humble and simple. She appears to humanity as a beautiful flower that grew unnoticed until it finally blossomed by giving herself totally to God. She is a bride chosen by God as a companion for his plan of salvation. The Pope said God trusted Mary and esteemed her by entrusting to her his dearest and most important mission.
Questa terza dimensione della bellezza di Maria, quella di madre.
Reflecting on the Blessed Virgin Mary's beauty as mother, Pope Francis explained that she is often represented with the child Jesus in her arms or bending over Jesus as he lay in the manger. Mary, as mother, the Pope added, was present beside her son throughout his life, ever close in her maternal care with humility. The Pope gave several examples, including her closeness to Jesus at the wedding at Cana, where she interceded for the bride and groom, and at the cross, where Jesus himself gave her to us as our mother. At the cross, the Pope explained, the Blessed Virgin Mary recognizes that she must die to herself in order to give life, forget herself in order to care for the poor and vulnerable who turn to her. All these things are contained in her pure heart, a heart that is free from sin and obedient to the working of the Holy Spirit.
Sarebbe di pensare che si tratti di una bellezza lontana. Una bellezza troppo alta, irraggiungibile. E non è così.
Pope Francis reminded the faithful that Mary's beauty is also attainable by us. We too have received this beauty as a gift in baptism when we are freed from original sin. Like the Blessed Virgin Mary, he said, we are called to cultivate this beauty with a filial spousal and maternal love, and by being grateful for what we have received and generous in what we give back. The Pope lamented the growing attitudes today which deprive parents of respect, which reject children, which reduce others to mere objects or treat them as burdens, and which consider sharing with others as a waste and solidarity as deprivation, stressing that such attitudes cannot spread joy or build a future. He invited Catholics to learn from the Blessed Virgin Mary and to ask God to help us to change our world for the better. After Holy Mass, Pope Francis led the faithful who gathered in St. Peter's Square in the traditional non-angelus prayer. Thaddeus Jones has the details.
Speaking to the crowds gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis reflected on today's gospel, which recounts one of the most important and beautiful moments in the history of humanity, he said, and that's the Annunciation. The Blessed Virgin Mary gives her yes to the Archangel Gabriel, permitting the incarnation of the Son of God, Jesus. And the Pope describes this scene as one of great wonder and emotion, because God the Most High, the Omnipotent, by means of the angel, dialogues with a young girl from Nazareth, asking for her collaboration for his plan of salvation. Recalling Michelangelo's famous masterpiece in the Sistine Chapel of the scene of the creation of Adam, where the finger of the Heavenly Father touches the finger of man, the Pope explained how here also human and the divine encounter each other when the Virgin Mary pronounces her yes. And Mary is full of grace, as the Archangel Gabriel greets her, the Pope recalled, as she's the Immaculate, entirely at the service of the Word of God, always with the Lord, to whom she entrusts herself completely.
Fratelli e sorelle, contemplando questo mistero, possiamo chiederci.
Pope then suggested we ask ourselves where we place our hopes, in money, powerful friends, or rather in God's infinite mercy, in our world ravaged by wars and emphasizing efforts to possess and dominate. Where is the treasure of my heart? The Pope asked. Should we not embrace the fact that God loves me freely, that his love always goes before me and is ready to forgive me when I return repentant to him, the Pope said. And as we approach the Jubilee 2025 and the opening of the Holy Door in the coming weeks, the Pope prayed that may we also open our hearts and minds to the Lord Jesus. And he encouraged everyone to go to confession during these days, as the sacrament can really help us open our hearts to the Lord who always, always forgives us. I'm Dennis Jones.
The Christmas tree and nativity scene in St. Peter's Square here in the Vatican were inaugurated on Saturday evening by Cardinal Ferdinando Verges Alzaga, the president of the Pontifical Commission for Vatican City State, and Sister Raffaella Petrini, the Secretary General of the Pontifical Commission for Vatican City State. The nativity scene and the Christmas tree were donated by the Italian province of Trento. Pope Francis received the donors on Saturday morning, and in his address he noted that the Christmas tree was harvested with respect to ecological principles for natural forest regeneration and highlighted its deeper spiritual meaning. With its interwoven old and young branches reaching the sky, he said, the tree serves as a powerful metaphor for the church, which is a people and a body through which the light of Christ spreads into the world, thanks to the succession of generations of believers united around Jesus Christ. Speaking about the nativity scene, the Pope said God became man to fully share in our poverty, building his kingdom on earth, not with powerful means, but through the humble resources of our humanity, but purified and strengthened by his grace. He said the church has room for everybody, and we should seek to reach Christ together as a community. The Pope called for an end to the fighting in the Holy Land, the birthplace of Christ. The Archbishop of Uambo in Angola, His Grace Zeferino Zeka Martins, has called upon pastoral and liturgical workers in the archdiocese to make sure that Holy Mass and other church functions are celebrated with respect. He made the call on Thursday when he was closing the third Archdiocesan Pastoral Assembly. He pointed out some irregularities in the liturgical celebrations, which he said include excessive long masses, homilies that resemble commentaries on scripture readings, unsuitable musical instruments, and inappropriate dances during offertory processions. He said all these should adhere to liturgical norms. He described the Eucharist as the center of the church's life and therefore should be celebrated as the common offering of the people of God. The Archbishop of Nairobi in Kenya, His Grace Philip Anyolo, has called upon consecrated persons to remain committed to their vows and to avoid distractions that come from worldly desires. He made the call on Friday during Holy Mass, in which 11 members of the Little Sisters of St. Francis celebrated their jubilees, and some others made their perpetual vows. Speaking about the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, he said they allow the religious to dedicate themselves entirely to the service of God. He assured the nuns that the community of the faithful is on their side and always available to support them. Archbishop Anyolo acknowledged the nuns' contribution to the pastoral and social life of the church in Nairobi, pointing out that their schools have touched the lives of many people who are contributing positively to the Kenyan society in many ways. The Archbishop invited the nuns to strive to holiness, pointing out, however, that we are all sinners and therefore they should expect ups and downs in their religious life. But in such situations, they should seek consolation and the mercy of God. The Congregation of the Little Sisters of St. Francis was founded in Uganda in 1923 by an Irish missionary, Mother Mary Kevin. Its members work in Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania, where they offer services mainly as teachers and as health care workers. As you may have heard, the president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, fled into exile on Sunday morning after rebels who have been fighting his government since 2011 captured the capital, Damascus. Assad's family has ruled Syria for 53 years. Bashar al-Assad took power in 2000 from his father, who had ruled the country for almost 30 years. Resistance against him started a year later in what was then termed as the Arab Spring, with a pro-democracy uprising calling for the end of his family's long reign. The uprising escalated into a brutal civil conflict backed by different powers, in which more than 500,000 people were killed and 12 million others were displaced from their homes. Nathan Molly reports.
The rebels launched their lightning offensive only last week, taking the cities of Aleppo, Hama and Homs in quick succession before marching on the capital, Damascus. Early on Sunday, opposition forces overtook the state television and radio network to announce the fall of Damascus and the end of the President Bashar al-Assad government. In an address to the nation, Syria's Prime Minister, Mohammed Ghazi Ja'ali, said he would remain in his post and was ready to support the continuity of governance in the country.
We stretch our hand out to the rebels, who have also stretched out their hands and assured us that no harm would come to anyone who belongs to Syria. We believe in a Syria that belongs to all Syrians.
Abu Muhammad al-Julani, the leader of the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, or HTS, rebel group, has banned his forces from approaching public buildings and institutions, stating that they will remain under the care of the country's prime minister until they are officially handed over. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, Family. Church in Africa as a family of God, its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program Family.
One of the world's tragic humanitarian crises happening right now, and one that has gone underreported, is the one happening in Haiti. The reasons for this are many. Some of them are historical, such as colonialism. Others are beyond people's control, such as earthquakes. But there's also been bad leadership and weak political and democratic institutions. The current crisis has been worsened by a proliferation of armed gangs who are said to control huge parts of the country, especially the capital city. Several UN agencies have been calling the world's attention to the crisis that is happening in Haiti. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, has also been calling for prayers and the international community to try and help the country. Led by the Kenya Police, there is an international police service mission which is also trying to restore order amidst worsening violence. And as you can guess, the children are the most heavily affected by what is going on in the country. Gabby Britton is the Humanitarian and Partnership Director of Save the Children Haiti, and she has been speaking with Vatican News.
Yes, so my name is Gabby Breton. I'm the Humanitarian and Partnership Director for Save the Children International. I'm based in Haiti. Since May, I'm in the country. I'm moving from north and south and then the capital based on the situation and to follow our program. And I'm currently now in the north of Haiti in Cap Haitien.
Save the Children is warning about the plight of school children in Haiti. What is the situation like on the ground?
Yes, as you know, Haiti have been in a critical economic crisis since decades. And those past years, this economic crisis led to a lot of extreme poverty. More people are vulnerable. So this bring a perfect condition for gangs recruitment. You know, when the economic situation is not there, no opportunities. And then the gang did expand their territories and it became at the level of they almost control 85% of the capital. So it's a cycle of violence. And then this situation of violence make the schools difficult to operate. So if kids cannot go to school, it's also creating again another condition for gangs to recruit them because they are having economic struggling with the economic situation among the families. Then the schools are paralyzed due to violence. As you know, it's more than 700 internally displaced person from Port-au-Prince that has to escape violence. So kids are in the middle of that. So either they are following the families that have to escape violence, and they are often going in the school sites to search for safety. So when they arrive at the school sites, the kids that were attending class cannot either attend because now it's full of people that are stressed by the violence. So it's really a double impact, and it's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of kids that cannot attend school. School were often also providing a snack. So this is also part of a kind of a protection system that is collapsing. If kids cannot go to school, parents has issue to go back to their economic activities because of the situation. So it's becoming like a real cycle of violence and no more so much issue in terms of finding food and money for being able to live in a dignity. So kids that has often no voice are among the most vulnerable. So they are the victim, the most affected and the most impacted. And with this, we impacted the future too, because they are the future. So it's the situation is terrible. We're talking about that more than 150 gangs are controlling, trying to expand their territories. Now they have a movement to create an alliance among them to expand to more territories. So we are also concerned for the rural area. So far, the critical situation and this cycle of violence, it's more concentrated in the capital.
What would you say attracts children to follow the gangs?
Often what the gang will offer, it's kind of offer a meal or a small money for kids to be involved as a spy or giving information. And this is a way for kids to have access to food. I mean, we are at that level of need. Kids are struggling, no school, no place to go to studies. They don't see any more future because it's very complicated for more than 2 years now to have regular school. So, and like I mentioned, the economic crisis and families struggling to have economic opportunities, job. So lack of this opportunity, no school. So kids are, it's a very good condition for gang recruitment as they offering a basic meal or very small money but this is the way for them to survive. I mean, new kids want to join the gang, but when you are in this situation of not having any things to eat, so they are going there for doing some like job for the gangs.
So in that case, we could say that children are facing constant violence and even child abuse.
Yeah, exactly, because it's they are forced to do things, and then, you know, like raping and violence, and then it's become like the norm, you know, for them, because since you are forced, if you don't obey or if you don't do what they request to you, they will kill you anyway. So they are trapped in this violence, and it's combined to the hunger and all those displays, it's give the perfect condition to exploit them. They are exposed to unimaginable violence.
What kind of programs and services is Save the Children putting in place to help ameliorate the situation of the children in Haiti?
So for the moment, we have different programs. So one is what we call education in emergencies. We try to continue schooling, not in the school that is occupied by the displaced person, but with the teacher. We identify parent home or a community safer place for the teacher to provide the basic and the continuity of school. So, and then they also provide a small snack when we support those teachers to organize education in emergencies. Then we also have a local partner. It's a woman-led organization. They are a lawyer, psychologist, and they bring psychosocial services to the kids that were victim of violence, or young women or girls that were victim of sexual abuse. So we provide them. So we try to prevent gangs recruitment. This is the most important. We try to support the education, and then we provide protection services. Those are implemented by our two strategic partners. So it's starting to be difficult to also support the gang, the children of the gangs, knowing that the population also is now trying to make their own justice, because their communities have been burned. You know, the gangs, how they operate, they arrive in a new area, they burn the house, they shut the person, they rape the girls to ensure that they show their power and they will control that area. So and then kids are recruited, and it's kind of a trap. It's very, very complicated for kids, and even for the mothers. That I had a discussion through phone with a mom. She was very scared. She had four kids. One was recruited by gang. She explained that it was the economic situation. She could not feed them, and sadly, but she was also very concerned, of course, of her kid. She has no news. She said that in 6 months, he only came one time, and he gave like money to his brother, and then he left. He didn't explain too much, but her, she's also very concerned, because if the communities know that her son is now with a gang, she might be also victim from her own community, that now her son is from the other side and is committing atrocity.
I think there is also this question that needs to be asked about Haiti. Has the so-called colonial independence debt that France demanded of Haiti, has that had an impact? France, as a condition of giving independence to Haiti, said it was losing slaves and an income, and therefore demanded this income to be paid over a very, very long period.
Yeah, they had to pay for 120 years, I think, this debt for being free, you know, too. So it's, I don't want to judge that this historical part, but of course it's had an impact for in Haiti for still, because all the payment of that debt, it was representing maybe 50% of the income of the country. So this money was, they were not able to invest on education, on road, if 50% of his income, it's only to pay the debt. Yeah, this is a consequence of this legacy of that colonization history. I will also that it had an impact.
As someone who is on the ground, living and seeing this whole thing firsthand, what would you appeal? What would be your appeal to the international community?
Yeah, it's we need to focus on human dignity, you know, that every child deserves a better future, you know, regardless their socioeconomic or political challenge that the government that they have, they do. Kids are the one that's suffering of all those, you know, management, let's say, that conduct to a critical situation.
Thank you so much for sharing all those insights with the Vatican News, and thank you for your work in Haiti.
Now that I will take the advantage that I am with you to also say that, you know, we need to have love for all those kids, compassion. We need to focus on human dignity. They need to have a chance for the future, like better justice. And this is what we want the international community to, and the people that listening this interview, that consider that our Haitian kids are also our little brother and sister, and we would really like to receive more supports in terms of course, funding, but to talk more about the situation and let people know that we need to provide them a better future with our solidarity. It's always very important that we have this channel to being able, like you say, Haiti is not so much on the agenda, but hoping that people will understand that those kids are also part of our the big humanity.
Gabby Britton of Save the Children in Haiti.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program, at this same time tomorrow, you can hear our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.